Welcome back. Hello, Port Harcourt. My name is Jude. Our final and major conversation this morning has to do, coincidentally, with rent. Now, many people who live within the Port Harcourt metropolis do not have the financial capacity as of now to buy their own houses. If you check local listings around your area, you'll be shocked at the amounts being quoted for you to buy a two-bedroom apartment or even buy a house, a duplex these days. We're talking about tens of millions of naira. And so the majority of people who live within this metropolis have to, as it were, rent. Even companies pay rent. Now, this is not to say if you are paying rent right now, you're not doing well. No, that is not that's not the conversation. But our conversation this morning is about the cultural practices and nuances that seem to have crept in to rent in Port Harcourt. Now, these cultural charges infused in rent or going in hand with rent, we want to find out this morning, are they justified? Now, earlier on, somebody, unwittingly, you know, gave a sneak peek into our conversation this morning when he asked about drinking money. Now, if you go to a hotel right now and you want to, as it were, pay for the usage of a room for a day or two, all you have to do is pay the stipulated amount on the rate card. If it's 7,000, 10,000, 20,000, you pay and you go. You spend one or two nights there and you leave. They don't ask you to pay for drinking money or to pay for opening door policy at hotels. But here in Port Harcourt, maybe in some parts of Nigeria, but we're focusing on Port Harcourt, these days, when you want to pay for your rent, you get to have an agent or the lawyer involved tell you, well, the rent is 100,000 naira, but there's drinking money, then there's agreement fee, then there's retainership fee, then there's service charge, and then there's caution fee. All of these to rent an apartment. Now, I do know that some of these fees are cultural, or maybe I'm not quite sure. Well, to help us understand these cultural charges that have been infused into rent and the justification of such charges is my guest, Richard Walkercher, constitutional lawyer here in Port Harcourt. My name is Jude. Hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning, Mr. Richard.
Good morning, Jude.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Good to have you join us once again on yet another topical conversation.
Always a pleasure. Oh.
So, sir, let's delve straight in into the rent challenges here in Port Harcourt. As I made mention a few moments ago, rent here is amount used to make use of an apartment or maybe a piece of land or something like that. People pay and they have access to that property or to that service or services. Now, when it comes to renting apartments in Port Harcourt, a lot of people these days are beginning to wonder where these charges are coming from and if they are truly justified. Now, I know you have dealt with some of these cases before, so let me ask you, sir, the first one on my list, drinking money. Is it in our constitution that drinking money be paid before someone rents an apartment in Port Harcourt?
Certainly not. As it's called, they call it customary cola. So when it's described as customary, it means it's not statutory. It's not known to law. It's not prescribed by law. It's based on the custom. So it's not a legality, so to speak. And it's not part of what an agreement recognizes. But it's not known to law.
So if it's not known to law, but you said it's customary, so that means it's in the custom of the people. And that means for some people, it should or is it must be obeyed. Because a very similar conversation we had earlier on about matching ground money. And someone once said, someone sent us a message that it is the custom of the people. And so if government can take taxes, the people should be able to levy such amounts to individuals. Is that the same in the case of, in quotes, drinking money?
Now, it's really not applicable to everybody. There is a thing in custom, whenever there is a relationship developing, that there is presentation of cola, drinks, and all that. You find it in marriage, you find it in interfamily or intercommunal interactions. So it's just a custom, not something you can enforce in law. As I say, it's not known to law. Can you charge it? If you say it's your custom to take a bottle of drink and giving out, or when receiving somebody, because it's really about bringing in somebody to become part of your community. So if you say, oh, customarily here, you must buy us drinks, which is a common thing. Something good happens, your friends tell you, you must wash it or we must celebrate it and all that. It's the same custom you are expressing. So if an owner, a landlord, says, oh, you must do that, or you must buy us drinks, or you must buy me drinks, or you must give me cola for being admitted into my community or into my premises. It's something that you have a choice about. Remember that it's a tenancy transaction. You can say, I don't want to live in a place where I have to pay cola, so you go to another place and check. It's not every landlord that insists or demands such customary cola, but it's more commonplace in communal settings where, for instance, somebody goes to rent a block of flats or goes to rent a business shop and all that. It's unlikely that you will find all those grammar. But when you go to rent a place to live in among people of the locality, including your landlord, they are likely to have such customary gestures made towards you. So when we say it's not known to law, it's not known to law. It's not something that the person can enforce. Neither is it something that you can go to court about. But as I said, on the long run, it's for you to decide whether or not you want to do it. You are not compelled to do so. So you can say, no, I don't want to stay in a place where I have to do this. The man will not insist. It means you move on and look for another place where you want to rent. But with respect to his property, remember it's a free market economy. With respect to his property, if he says he wants cola as condition for anybody coming to stay there, it's up to him. And he can stand his ground and wait until he finds a tenant that is ready to take cola or to give him cola.
But therein lies the quagmire for many Rivers residents. As you say, and I think you are very correct here, that not every landlord is going to demand some form of cola or drinking money, as it were. But from my interactions with people, and we're going to hear a few of them very shortly, there seems to be a general acceptance across Port Harcourt, particularly across Port Harcourt metropolis, when it comes to rent agreement, that it seems to be on the increase. Almost everywhere, agents will tell you, you must bring drink money. Now, if you are not compelled by law to pay such a money, but you don't have the prevailing circumstance where most apartments are available, even though the landlord is not resident there, even though the community members do not directly relate with those people in that area, they still demand for the money. And so, Rivers people are now, residents rather, are now faced literally with the unsavory scenario of paying these money. Don't forget, this is outside the rent that has been, yes, has been given.
It is the way it is, and it is what it is. I've done a number of transactions for a number of people. In fact, I can't remember the last time I did one that there was such thing. For corporate organizations, for individuals, renting business premises and all that. All I have done has not been any talk of drink money for those I've done in the last 5 years or a little more than 5 years. There has been no talk of drinking money. So it's not statutory. It's not something everybody demands. So when you meet one who demands, as I said, it's usually the option of whether or not you want to accept. but you can't accept to live in this house and then say, I don't like some of your conditions. If you don't like the conditions, you move on.
Okay, all right. If you don't like some of
the private transaction.
All right, if you don't like some of the conditions, you have a right to move on. If you just join us this morning, it's Hello Port Harcourt. It's our final conversation. Rent challenges in Port Harcourt is our discussion this morning. And Richard Wakocha, a barrister, a constitutional lawyer, joins us this morning on the subject matter. So now we've talked about drinking money. Then one of the charges that seems to come up these days, and we'll talk about the legality of such charges in this conversation, is the, in quotes, caution fee. You just stated that you've handled a lot of scenarios like this, agreements. What's the legality of this said caution fee? Because, like I made mention of, when you go to a hotel and you want to purchase or you want to pay for the use of a hotel, you just pay what is there and you go. Nobody asks you to pay a caution fee or drinking money to open the door or things like that. So when it comes to rent in Port Harcourt, what is the legality behind the caution fee?
A caution fee is really not the money you pay to the landlord for him to keep and use as part of his rent or part of customary payment. The caution fee is your money you deposit. In the event that at the end of your tenancy, you damage anything, that money will be used in fixing it. Our money will be drawn from that money. For 60, if what is done is less than what is deposited. You are entitled to your caution deposit if at the end of the day you are leaving and there is no damage to anything. So it's a deposit, it's called caution deposit. There are actually hotels you go to and you'll be asked to pay a caution deposit beside the room rate.
Okay, all right, interesting to know.
Which is usually given back to you when you are checking out and there is no damage of anything. You are usually entitled to a refund of your caution deposit. It's just a deposit. It's still your money. I guess that may have arisen from the fact that a number of people may have had experiences where tenants left the houses in non-tenantable condition or left the houses without putting them in the condition in which the
they met them, yes,
before they entered them. So at the end of the day, the landlord will have to struggle to fix back the place before he rents out to the next person. So the idea of caution deposit is pay some money which will be kept for you in the event that you damage anything when you are leaving, it will be used to fix it. If you do not damage anything, you get back your money when you are leaving. It's not something hotels do.
All right, thank you very much. And then one other cultural fee that we heard yesterday on the subject matter is goats. There's a money for goats if you're renting. Some say if it's a big apartment, like say you're renting a 3-bedroom or duplex, for example. After you pay the, in quotes, the drinking money, there's a money for goats to be shared amongst the people. All of these are apart from the agency fees. These are cultural practices, sir. So why exactly are they being infused into the rent of many Rivers people?
The goat is certainly a cultural cola. It's part of what constitutes cola money when those transactions are taking place. I'm used to that more in respect of conveyances where a person is buying a land, that kind of thing. That's usually more applicable to that scenario than in renting a room. Is the equivalent of drink money in renting when a tenant is renting a room. In buying of land, sometimes the idea of goods as cola instead of drink. So it's a cost, just like the drink money, it's a customary fee or a customary charge, which, as I said earlier, they cannot insist on any law, and you cannot, you have a choice on whether you want to accept or not.
All right, but then just before we go on the break, sir, but then comes the ethical scenarios that you just made mention of. It cannot be enforced, and you are obligated. But in many cases, people who are looking for apartments are usually in dire need of a shelter. And so, in order not to miss out on what they would deem as a decent place, a decent accommodation space, they are literally, as it were, pushed to a corner. Like I made mention of this drinking money, good money, cautionary fees. Then there's the legal fee. I'm sure which is backed by law. You can help us with that. Legal fee. Then retainership as well. All of these fees make people, as it were, compelled to pay for these places. And that's where the ethical question comes in. How fair is it to bring all these cultural norms into your rent, making it almost impossible for people to rent spaces without paying?
Two of the last fees, which you say you think is bad by law, need to be explained, and those are necessary. First is legal fee. If you are going to have an agreement done, then the lawyer will likely prepare the agreement. If the lawyer prepares the agreement, the landlord is making you bear the cost because you are the one taking the interest. You can also have a situation where the cost is split and you are asked to pay your own part of the cost of engaging the lawyer to prepare your agreement. So that is legitimate. The lawyer aims a fee for a brief that is given to him. And you as a beneficiary pay the brief. Pay the lawyer for the brief. On the other hand, agency fee is not compulsory. If you are transacted directly with the landlord, then there is no room for agency fee. Agency fee happens where you engage an agent to help you locate accommodation. Now, where that happens, definitely you have engaged the services of somebody, and the agency fee will be a legitimate fee to pay. Now, very often, apartment seekers do not have the time to move from place to place to search for them, so they engage the services of persons who are into that. I don't have an idea of available places or who will go around to look for available places. So that's a legitimate fee they're paying for engaging the services of that person. It's usually put as a starting percentage of what the rent is that the person is paying. So those two are contractual. You contract the services of a lawyer to prepare an agreement, or a lawyer is contracted to prepare an agreement to give you what you have asked for, the interest you have asked for in the transaction, or the other is you engaging somebody. Now, I know that in a lot of cases, whether it's prompted by the agent or the landlord, a landlord will ask you to go and meet an agent, to come through an agent that's telling you to part with agent 15. But it may also be because the landlord has engaged the agent and pledge that he will not subvert the agent by going behind him to get a tenant. In this case, he is dealing through an agent, somebody who will be able to move on your behalf and help to identify identify the case and get the landlord to agree to rent the apartment to you. So those are contractual. Where those agents work for you, either a legal practitioner or an agent, then you have incurred the cost for that. But where you transact directly with the landlord, it's still legitimate for him to talk about agency fee.
I'm not sure this is going to shock you because these are conversations I had yesterday as I was out talking to people. Now, some say that even when there is no agent, even when they walk on the streets, when they go around searching for these apartments and they get to speak to either the landlord, they meet the landlady in the scenario that was shared with me yesterday, the person still says there's an agency fee. And the person said, but I didn't come through an agent. I came on my own. And I know you don't have an agent because woman would tell you, or the woman told her that she doesn't like to see agents. So if you don't like to see agents, how come the lady is not asking to have the agency fee paid as well? What's the legitimacy of those of that action?
In that case, such a demand is illegitimate because if you met the landlord directly or the landlady directly and transacted with the person and agreed on rent and signed it up to every other thing, there was no agent to see you, and the landlord cannot be an agent himself, so they are not supposed to ask landlord or landlady. Agency fee arises only when there is a third party who went between the post to document the transaction, identify the place, and bring the attention of them.
All right, Richard Wokocha is my guest this morning. We'll take a breather, have a break, a headline news comes up, and then when we come back, we'll open the phone lines, and I see questions already lined up, sir. I'm going to crave your indulgence once again, so we can read these comments, these questions, and get a clarity from your standpoint.
All right.
Thank you very much. My name is Jude. Hello, Potako returns shortly.
Port Hackett. Say hello to the buzz, the vibes, the peculiarities and regularities of a contemporary city.
Hello, Port Hackett. Let's talk about this modern metropolis sprawling from the city to the exurbs, the suburbs, township, community and your locality.
Let's talk about happenings in your neighborhood, standards at your workplace, social amenities and issues of great concern to you on Hello, Port Hackett.
Hello.
Every weekday from 9 a.m. to midday on your number one station for talk, news, and sports. 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
Well, if you live in Port Harcourt, chances are you are a tenant. Chances are you are about to pay your rent. Chances are you just paid your rent. Now, there are still a lot of us, well, I say us because, you know, I'm going to be one of them soon. You know, there's still a lot of us who do not pay rent, who are fortunate to have their homes personal, either they bought or they were able to build, particularly in this climb. Now, whatever the case is, at some point in time, the rent issue comes up. And now to explain and to, as it were, provide clarity to some of the questions that you have, I have Richard Wokocha joining me via telephone. And our conversation this morning is about the cultural practices infused in rent. These charges, these cultural charges, are they justified? Are they legal? Well, by and large, my guest, Richard Wokocha, said they are not. However, they are obligatory if you so choose. You are not going to be compelled. They are not mandatory for you to actually do them. But the ethical question is now before us. If more tenants and landlords have an issue with drink money and so levies, how then is it fair for those who are just trying to get a place to rest their head? My name is Jude. Welcome to Where the Region Has Its Best Conversations. And WhatsApp and Telegram are available for us on 0809-030-6416. My guest this morning, Richard Wokocha. Good morning to you, sir. Welcome once again.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you very much for explaining some of the scenes that we've had so far.
Welcome.
So we'll get straight to our WhatsApp platform where we have questions and comments, and then get you to, as it were, input on them. Sylvester sent us a message. He says, the two-bedroom flat I rented when the agent demanded for drink money, the landlord said he does not collect drink money. So I did not pay. Sylvester, giving credence to your statement earlier on, sir. Jude, this culture is predominant amongst the Ikwerre landlord and such should be discouraged. Now, talking about cultural nuances, should it really be discouraged? Should the rent just be a certain number, or is it part of the culture that, you know, we need to keep as our identity, Mr. Richard?
A custom is a custom. customs are not immutable. The world is dynamic, and so customs also adjust to changing times. But from the last comment you read, I'm sure the person should not be surprised why it is mostly to the foreign landlords. Foreign landlords are the people who are in their community here. I told you earlier that you have the custom of when people join in the community, you welcome them, something good happens, you wash it, and all that by celebrating it. So, among all of us, they are the ones for whom Port Harcourt is village. Port Harcourt is their local community, is their only home. And so, if they are practicing a custom here, it's understandable. They will do here what you will do in your village, because this place is for them. Village. So that is why you notice it more with them than with any other person.
All right, thank you very much. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, and 0817-923-0007. These are the numbers available for us to interact and engage with you this morning. And I guess Richard Wokucha is on the line. We're going to make the very best use of his knowledge and authority on said matters. Good morning, Jude, and to the lawyer. Please, what happens when the property agent collects a legal fee and refuses to give the tenant any legal agreement? Does the tenant have a right to request for a refund? TK is asking.
Yes, tenant is collected, but for a service that is not rendered, you are entitled to it. So should you at the end of the day end up in litigation or in a dispute, you are entitled to demand refund of that money, because what you paid it for was not done.
Okay.
Any service for which you are charged and that service is not rendered, you are entitled to a refund.
Emmanuel from Port Harcourt has a question. Says, good morning, Jude, to your guests. In all of this, where is the position of the tenancy agreement? Tier and where? And if I leave a rented apartment for 10 years or more, should the landlord expect the house to be as it is 10 years, or as it was 10 years ago? Again, when is the right time to sue my tenant or landlord? Emmanuel wants to find out.
Should your landlord expect the house to be the way it was 10 years ago?
If you've been there for 10 years.
Yes, it took the house in a tenantable position.
Okay.
And required to hand it back in a tenantable position. If the house was fitted before you moved in, you're expected to return it to the walls, not broken, stained, and all that. He expects you to return it in the same condition. It's usually part of what is contained in an agreement, in your tenancy agreement. As for that expectation, yes, that is the position. You may not expect the blocks to be new that are inside the painted walls, but as for presentation of the facility, you expect, and the agreement demand that we restore them to the position they were in when you took over. What's the place of tenancy agreement? Tenancy agreement is the same thing as your legal fees. When you are charged a legal fee, what it implies is that, or what it is saying is that an agreement is going to be prepared, a tenancy agreement is going to be prepared. So you are paying for the services of the expert who will prepare the tenancy agreement.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much for that clarification. Good morning, Jude. I met my landlady one-on-one, no agent, but she still said I must pay the agency fee. Fortunately for me, she brought the agent to collect the money from me. The agent happens to be a classmate back in university. The man didn't collect the agency fee from him. My landlady became very angry with me till date because she couldn't get the agency fee from me. So, is this a question of ethics, sir?
As I said, agency fee is a contractual fee. It only arises where there is a contract, where you engage an agent, or where the landlord engaged an agent, and that agent got you to take interest in that facility. So, where there is nobody in between you, there is no room for agency fee. Anybody demanding that is either ignorant or is making a wrong demand, and you are not obligated to pay if there was no agent in the transaction. As in this case, the landlady could only be very angry with him, but she could not have said, leave my house after he had paid the relevant fee. That's why she was not able to do that. So where there was no agent involved, there is no room for agency fee, and such demand would be illegally done.
Okay, all right, thank you very much. Okay, this one says, good morning, Jude. In those days, drinking money was used to buy drinks to introduce you to the people in the compound. These days, landlords, now, wow, that's from young ma'am. They take the money just to add to their rent.
Exactly. It's now they who are drinking the drink. No longer you and your neighbors.
Okay, but
it began as that.
Okay.
As something for you and your neighbors. To share and for them to welcome you.
Mm.
It's like getting you into the community of the compound. But
the message, yes.
Yes. It is now basically landlord drink money.
Right, so it's a question of ethics. People are not as sincere as they once were. Good morning, Jude. How many months should be appropriate when a tenant is to be given a quit notice? Frank from Ada George is asking.
How many months?
Is appropriate when a tenant is to be given a quit notice? Frank is asking.
If the tenant is a yearly tenant, it's due well to notify the tenant 6 months before the installation of the rent. But at the least, a quit notice ending a yearly tenancy should have at least 3 months duration.
Okay, at least.
Minimum of 3 months.
Minimum.
Where the tenant is a monthly rent paying tenant, 1 month notice should be sufficient.
1 month, therefore, yearly tenancy agreement.
Monthly.
Yeah, monthly is 1 month, you say.
A tenant who pays every month.
Yes.
1 month would be enough. But for a tenant who pays yearly, if you can't give 6 months, give not less than 3 months. That's the requirement of the law.
Okay, give not less than 3 months. Okay, all right, thank you very much, Mr. Richard, for that clarification. All right, okay, OJ here is asking, all of these fees that we ask, can't the landlords just come to agreement and just make a lump sum instead of psychologically affecting us? Won't the law back them? OJ is asking.
That lump sum you won't like. So you are giving a list of what they're paying for to convince you and satisfy you that they're not just cutting your throat as we say in Nigeria. That you are paying for relevant things for specific things. But if he makes it a long song, what will he call it?
Just rent.
Customary money or what? Don't make sense. So when they list it out, they give you notice of the five things for which they're making the payment. I think it's more transparent that way. So to just make a demand for a long song that. Does not mean anything and does not
answer
any minute.
Okay. All right. I have a message here. This is from IB. IB here says, Jude, good morning. Please ask you guys, my landlord every year asks for drink money on renewal of rent. Is this proper? If it's not, how do I stop it?
It's a drunkard. It's not supposed to ask for. It's not supposed to ask for. Annual drink money.
Hmm.
Drink money has nothing to do with tenancy. It has to be a regular thing. As I said, the origin of drink money is to welcome you to the community. You are not welcome every year. They don't hold a welcome party for you every year.
Hmm.
So, the origin is to welcome you to the community. You are not a new entrance. After that first step, every subsequent time, you only request to pay your rent. And not any other thing, no
business
money, no
business
money, no.
So if.
If
that's the case, how does IB resolve this issue if the man comes every year to ask for drink money in addition to the rent?
IB can say landlord that it's not a new tenant. this morning, the comp functionaries who are being welcomed into the comp founder. It's not a maintenance. It's not a little change this morning. He or she is not a little change this morning.
Okay, well, Ivy, I hope this helps all. Now, just before we wrap up here, we have just about 6 or 7 minutes to wrap up. If you just join us, my guest is Richard Wokocha. We're talking about rent challenges in Port Harcourt. Yes, it's Port Harcourt in particular because it is the capital of River State, and the rent in some places is actually stupendous for some people. Now, we have one bedrooms these days going for as much as 300 to about 550, depending on the location, and according to some, depending on the finishing of the apartment. Some of the rather expensive or rather more expensive apartments these days can be found in parts of GRA, in parts of Audley Road, where we hear that some apartments go as high as 2.5 million a year. Now, in addition to all of these comes some of these additional costs in getting an apartment. We've had Mr. Richard explain to us what the tenancy agreement is, what the retainership fee is, and also the caution fee or cautionary fee. It's your money, apparently. Am I correct to say that, sir?
You're correct. Caution deposit is their money.
Okay. Okay, so if a tenant is moving out from a place and all the fittings, everything in the apartment is as when he got in, he's entitled to his money.
A refund of 100% of the
person. A refund, no surcharge whatsoever, a 100% refund.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so now I had to be sure because I don't know these things, and that's why we have Richard Wokocha joining us this morning. Now, having said that, those cultural practices, you know, that have been infused into rent is what we're talking about. Are they legal? Many have been asking. Yesterday, I sat in a taxi with two individuals who were bemoaning these charges. Now, let me get back to you finally, sir. Now, you've said it's customary. It's not backed by law. So if you don't want to pay, you can move on to find another place to pay. For many of these people who may not be able to find, are there ways of going around in quote this drink money and whatever good money? Does the law allow for some form of negotiation?
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, what's your question?
Yes, so for those who can't find an apartment that the man doesn't want to collect drinking money and all of that, is there a provision in the law for some form of negotiation? If they can meet the full payment or tell the landlord to can pay you later, does the law allow for that? Or if the man says you must pay, you must pay?
I'm sure the custom allows for that. If the man says you must pay, I'm sure that in all such transactions, there is always room because currency transactions are negotiated. There is always room to ask the landlord to give you a month. Sometimes there are landlords who even receive half the annual fee and allow you to pay second installment at an agreed time. Mm. But there is always room for negotiation. Those could always be negotiated, either in terms of reducing the amount involved or the period that such amount is to be paid. All of that can be negotiated.
Okay, all right, all of that can be negotiated. 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and WhatsApp and Telegram 0809-030-6416. We have a Jonah joining us from Rumolumeni. Good morning. Hello, Jonah. Hello, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, all right. So talk to us. What's your question?
What of a situation whereby the landlord have sold his house without paying the tenant, and now the buyer trained the tenant to leave the house? What would the tenant do in this situation?
What's the position of the law? That's a great question.
And your rent are not yet expired.
Expired. Oh, okay.
The landlord is not informed the tenant that have sold the house.
All right, Jonah, thank you very much. Mr. Richard, did you get to hear the question, please?
Yes, I heard Jonah's question.
Hmm.
Now, where the landlord sells the house,
The landlord ordinarily does not owe you negotiation of whether or not he should sell his property. But what the law requires of him is to let the buyer know that your interest can only run from when the interest, existing interest, run out. So if you have an existing tenancy and somebody comes to say, I have bought the place, you can resist on the strength of your agreement showing that you paid for that place for that period. There are options. The best option is usually to resort to legal action. And the court will definitely uphold your interest, because your interest is valid. It's first in time to the interest of the man who bought that place, unless he's going to be willing, if you are willing to accept, unless he's going to be willing to refund you your rent for the period that is left. So whatever the landlord says, he says subject to the existing interest in that place. So people can successfully protect their interest and resist takeover of that place by resorting to the court. The court will stop the person from taking over until their rent runs out.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Juna, for that question. Renting a house in Nigeria is traditional marriage, drinking money and other rights, even if you buy drink for compound people. Interesting. Any payments during quit notice period? I'm not sure I understand that question. Good morning, Jude. Please, I'd like to know if it's lawful for a landlord to serve you a quit notice 3 months before the expiration of your rent. Pilton James from Woji. I do believe that is lawful, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, 3 months.
Okay, 3 months. Pilton, and that falls within the ambit of the law. Let's see now. Jude, what about a tenant who is not able to fulfill his yearly tenancy rent and is owing 2 years? What happens? Hey.
Once a tenant's rent elapses, he is no longer a tenant, he's a person holding over. The law requires that you give him only 7 days notice of owner's intention to recover the premises.
How many days again?
7 months notice is for a tenant whose tenancy is still running and valid. But if a rent runs out and the tenant does not pay, it ceases to be a tenant because the term that is secured by the last rent he paid has elapsed. What the law requires here, the law permits you to give him only 7 days notice of owner's intention to recover the premises.
And after which the law will support whatever actions the landlord takes?
After the 7 days, you file relevant papers in court and the court will make order granting you possession of the property.
Okay, all right. So it's still not in the purview of a landlord to go and maybe knock down the door or maybe barricade the place.
It's not lawful to insult the person.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much for that clarification once again. All right, it's been a pleasure as always. Never enough time. Whenever we have Richard Wokocha with us, it never seems to be enough time to answer all the questions. We have one final question here. Please, what do we do when a landlord increases the house rent with an addition of 20,000 naira with the promise of certain upgrades, which he has not done to date, but is still insisting on collecting the new rent?
Rent is increased subject to an agreement. Non-performance of that clause or that agreement for the purpose for which the increased rent was collected will be a breach on the part of the landlord. So you can at the next time resist. But again, as I said, it's private transaction between a man's property and an interested party. The option available is usually to vacate the place if you don't like the place. Because there is no circumstance in which the law will permit that you should leave there free. So if he is still responsible, increase rent without doing what you collectively agreed is to be done, increase rent, then you have the option of pulling out of the place.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Richard, as always, for making our time to share with us and also give us insights on these issues. It's been a pleasure to have had you join us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. So that's how we will end today on Hello Port Harcourt, getting a little insight into the rent issue and also matching ground monies. Whew, what a day. What a conversation.